Good morning, everyone. Oh my gosh, what a cold, cold day it is out there today. Oh my God, and it's dark outside. My name is Elaine LaRoche. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We have a lot of things going on. We have a guest that will be in the studio momentarily. But for now, you've got me here. And I wanted to tell you that the farmer's market, I'm going through withdrawal. Today is their last day at the farmer's market today. It starts 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. today. And oh my God, it's been one heck of a season, as they say, and I hope you had a chance to go come on down to O'Connell Field in Attleboro today and check it out. Our number here is 508-222-1320. I'd like to wish you a fantastic weekend, I should say. It's kind of like a perfect weekend for like apple picking or doing whatever you or yard work or anything out there. It's crisp out there. Jim Corbin and I were texting back and forth. He'll be calling in today at 7:35. Hopefully he'll be telling us some really good news. I am on vacation next week, so I am doing some day tripping. So hopefully I'll be able to go up to Boston as I plan to do and do some other things with my family and that. So, but if you're up and around and you're having your first cup of coffee, I'd like to welcome you to our show. There's a lot of things going on in the Attleboro area. That's for sure. The elections are heating up. I understand there's going to be a mayoral debate on October 25th at 7 p.m. at City Hall. So that'll be a very interesting debate for sure. But if you played the lottery, I'd like to wish you very good luck. And I'll give you my number if you win megabucks. The daily number today for Mass Daily Number is 2394. The Rhode Island Daily Number is 3991. Mass Cash, 2, 7, 10, 26, and 30. And the Mega Millions, 2, 7, 18, 26, 31. The Mega Ball is 12, and the Mega Plier is 2. I wanted to get some of these out and about activities out to you before our guest comes because I'm not really sure how long I'm going to be. And last week, I apologize. We were talking to Richard Lund. He had given us some really great job strategies, and I didn't want to interrupt our guest. Of course, he's a guest in our house. And so I didn't get a chance to really read all the things that we had going on in our area. So, but there are some really fascinating things besides the farmer's market. The psychic fair is today from 9 a.m. to 4 at Attleboro Farms on, it's 491 Hickory Road, but we know it as Route 121. So it's free admission to get in there, but each vendor will charge you for a reading. I went last year, and I think I was charged $20 for a 15-minute reading, and it was well worth it. And they have a ton of things going on, from vendors with crystals and tarot books and cards, and many healers are going to be there, and readings of all kinds. And if you go, you'll come out and meet our very own WARA 1320. Donna Sprague will be there, too. So the fun starts there, the psychic fair, at 9 a.m. this morning. And if she's up and around, I told her to give me a call so we can talk to her about this and what is going on. And she's setting up right now. I know she's very busy setting up and everything, but she asked me to mention the psychic fair today, and it is happening then. Of course, now is the season where we're getting all these craft, arts and crafts and fall festivals and rummage sales and everything from, you know, Central Falls all the way into Onset. But locally here, we have another vendor fair on Saturday, which is today from 9 a.m. to 1 at, let's see, Oak Hill Avenue. And it's actually located at the community building on 1003 Oak Hill Avenue in Attleboro. There's a vendor fair, arts and crafts and raffles. And there's also a fall harvest craft fair on Hutchinson Road in Attleboro. And that starts from, 9 a.m. to 4 o'clock. And again, all these things are, you know, excuse me, all those things that we have, I say it's an opportunity to do some really great early Christmas shopping. And yes, I've already started. People are shaking their heads, I know. But seriously, folks, it is the time to get some really unique things, homemade things, things that I could never do, and you. And but yeah, check it out. And also, don't forget to go to the farmer's market, because again, there are some really great, unique things that you can put together. I'm thinking right now off the top of my head, there's Nettie's popcorn. And I like to go to AAA. I digress here for a minute, so bear with me. But I'm a AAA member, and I can get movie tickets at a discount price. So, like, I make up a basket for all my three adult children and their families with popcorn and the movie tickets and a bunch of candy. And I sugar up my grandkids and then send them off. So, so that was one of the ideas that I had for the farmer's market. But I work in Providence, and Nettie's Popcorn Factory is on Smith Street. So I frequent there quite a bit. So so if you have an opportunity to get down to the farmer's market, you don't have to go to Smith Street. You can buy it right now, today at 9 o'clock. Also, I told Heather that I would enter the annual pumpkin pie contest, and I just don't have the time. I didn't have time to get up early enough to do that. And so, unfortunately, I won't be able to make it. But I will stop in after breakfast, because right now I'm starving Marvin. I'm really hungry, so I have to head out and go out to breakfast. There are some really unique movies that are out today, and it's just really unusual. I'm looking at the list and everything, and it's so eclectic. For instance, The Mountain Between Us is Kate Winslet. You know, Titanic. This movie, when I'm looking at the trailer, I'm sorry, but this thing here is the same thing. The Titanic covers water. This movie covers survival on a mountaintop. So, I don't know. It's getting very little buzz, and I just think that how many times can you be rescued off of a mountain? And Mike is looking at me. You can jump in if you want to.
Wait a minute. She's in another movie that has to do with rescuing?
Yes.
It's getting old.
Yeah, I know. What can I say? But, yeah, it is. It's it's on a wintry mountain range. And I don't know if she survives or not, but chances are she probably will. Yeah, it's just my take on this whole thing.
Is Leonardo going to be in that one, too?
He might do a drive-by in a helicopter and rescue her.
They could stand on top of the mountain and go, I'm the king of the world!
Yeah, perhaps that might just happen. I don't know. Well, maybe her co-star does that. I have no idea. But this movie here I'd like to see is The Kingsman, The Golden Circle. That is a really great spy thriller, and it's really, really great. For the kids, My Little Pony, I'm sure I'll be dragged to that. I mean, I'll be asked to take the girls for that that little movie. Yeah, they asked me to take them to the Emoji movie, which, you know, I thought, oh, my God, really? But I have to say, it was really cute and fun as a child's movie goes. And but My Little Pony just came out. And Victoria and Abdul, this is a romantic, this is a really great friendship story between Queen Victoria. And I'm really interested in that. I'm a history buff, so I want to see how true to history is this friendship between Abdul and Victoria, Queen Victoria. And I remember way back, I want to say like the 90s, Flatliners. Remember like Everything Old is New Again? Do you remember Flatliners? Where they had Kevin Bacon and they started like, you know. Yeah. Well, anyway, they remade it again. So it's kind of like, you know, Flatline, you're dead. But it's a quantum space between that life and death thing. That's what the film is all about. And they kind of glorify it as like, oh, yeah, let's get together and let's just, you know, flatline and see what happens. You know, some of us may come back and some of us might not come back. I don't know. But I would say that that's going right straight to DVD. Anyway, I would like to say my guest, Anthony Stevens, he is our crime analyst from the City of Attleboro Police Department, is here today. And we're going to talk a little bit about, he did go to the national conference recently. And I'm really interested in finding out what were some of the topics that were discussed. And also to, you know, what is going on nationally as well for crime statistics and everything. So, if you are ready, sir. I know, we don't have a headset for it. I know, I'm sorry.
No worries.
What happened was, when I came in, there was nothing either. And I have a set, and I left mine at home, so I apologize. You're just going to have to look and talk to me. I'm sorry.
No worries. Good morning. How is everyone?
We're doing great.
Okay, good.
On this chilly morning.
I'll tell you, I'm sorry I missed you guys last month. I went down to Los Angeles, was down in New Orleans, and very interesting. It was, according to the locals, unseasonably cool. most of the week was high 70s. It was gorgeous. I guess with all the weather activity going on down in the Caribbean, that it was drawing a lot of that moisture out of the air. Mm-hmm. And, you know, definitely shorts weather. And the locals were all bundled up, wearing jackets, and I was just like, oh, this is so gorgeous. This is gorgeous. And everybody's like, oh, it's about 15 degrees cooler than what it should be. So, but yeah, so it's a little, come back to a little bit cooler weather, but had a very good time, had a great time actually, my first time down in Louisiana. And a lot of different topics. So it was the International Association of Crime Analysts. They do an annual meeting in different locations every year. This year they chose New Orleans, but The big focus appeared to be on social media investigations.
Oh, really?
It was. You know, different speakers talking, giving different tips and tricks. And, you know, as time progresses and technology advances, not only does society, but so do our offenders. So, you know, social media or the internet gives offenders new ways to offend. New ways to not only commit crime, but also new ways to kind of get rid of things like stolen property. So I had a couple of great speakers there. And then one of my more favorite, I tend to shouldn't say this, but in this way, but I love property crime. I just love kind of digging into it. It tends to be kind of falls off the beaten path at times because more violent crime tends to be the focus for more police departments. Mm-hmm. But there's some very interesting research, and some academics come talk about different algorithms that they're looking on for what they call near repeat burglary. So what they'll do is they'll plug this algorithm in, and then they'll look at burglary patterns in a particular city and try to better predict when and where the next one will occur. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of success with it in a few of the seminars that I went to, and you know, how they explained the process and their success with it. So,
wow. So you were talking about social media crime and different things. Are there more like scam things? Are there more phishing things that are happening on the internet, or what do you think? What did they think when they were talking about social media?
So it's a little bit mixed. With just part of it is in the investigative portion of it. People do tend to post a lot of things online. When it comes to things such as gang violence, sometimes these individuals will kind of represent themselves by putting these things out on social media. So it gives investigators an opportunity to kind of look at some of these things, kind of determine, you know, what's driving some of this firearm violence in certain cities. Scams too. A lot of you know, if we're talking fraud, you know, we're getting, when we talked, I think originally a few months back, fraud's there's a huge push on fraud right now. It's one of those crime categories that is just going to continue to increase, and police departments just they're not equipped to deal with that, especially even larger departments. You know, because of the amount of volume of fraud, fraud investigation does take a lot of time. And, you know, it's interesting, I was going to talk about it this morning, but we had a couple weeks back, we posted something off of social media. We had a couple businesses in town that were being scammed. And this one particular individual that called, you know, they're pushing, hey, you know, we're calling from National Grid, you owe us such a, you know, a certain amount of money. And you know, the first red flag that should pop up is they're asking you to go out to a retailer, pick up what's called a money pack card, you know, get it in certain amount of denominations, and then they have you read the numbers on the back of the card over to them on the phone. So you know, unfortunately we had a couple businesses in town over the last month or so that kind of got scammed with that. But what's interesting is the number was still active. So the officer that took the report came back into the office, and I feel bad for the victim. But so he called, and the person actually picked up, maybe Pakistani descent. But he actually told the officer, they had a conversation, and the scammer was getting more and more angry because the officer's trying to get information out of him. And the scammer actually said, that's fine, come arrest me, I'm in Pakistan. So very, I don't know what the word I want is, very brazen.
Yeah.
So,
Wow. I have to hold you right there.
Absolutely.
Okay. Have a sip of your coffee, and you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're going to take our first break, and if you have a question on statistics and or even crime in our area, I'd like you to call us at 508-222-1320. We'll be right back after these messages.
College will present Graft, an exhibition of the works of Providence-based artist Helene Battalion from September 5th to October 21st in the Beard Gallery. Battalion, who is trained in fashion design and painting, creates a site-specific installation that explores the boundaries between garment and sculpture, between form and function, and between the beautiful and the grotesque. For more information about the exhibit, including gallery hours, you can email arts@wheatoncollege.edu.
You sit down at your table, you get your card. 25 squares hold the key. Which one will it be? I-25, O-72, or lucky B-13? Which one will be the square that makes you jump up and shout,
Bingo!
The Attleboro Elks Lodge, 1014, hosts Bingo each Sunday at 887 South Main Street. Open to the public, the kitchen opens at 5 p.m. with a variety of food available. Bingo starts at 6 p.m. Prizes are awarded and proceeds support Elks charities. For further details, you can visit attleboroelks.org or you can call 508-222-5502. Remember, Elks care, Elks share.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C, attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not Mom. I'm Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D, capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our phone number here is 508-222-1320. In studio, I have Anthony Stevens, our crime analyst for the city of Attleboro. And he was just telling us a little bit about the national conference that he went to in New Orleans, which is a great town for sure. So you were talking about the scamming of the National Grid scam, and that is big because I was reading about that also, and it's a shame that several people fell for that sort of thing. I remember also, too, myself, too, getting a call from, quote-unquote, the IRS and wanting your bank and routing number, and it's really amazing how people are so vulnerable, because when you hear, like, police department or National Grid or, you know, and the latest thing is, and people, I want you to be aware that people are starting to call for donations. And okay. It's everything from the police department, the local police departments, to the fire department, to veterans, you know, veterans organizations. And it's like, and I said, well, okay, well, you know, where can I bring it? You know, where can I send the check? And they say, well, if you give us your routing number and bank number, you know, we'll make sure that it gets to us. You know, I'm going, no, 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 it's okay. But that actually happened too. So
that's when you tell them to meet you at the police department, you'll give them the check there.
No, that's great.
It's,
yeah,
you know, it's tough. There was a gentleman when I worked in Boston. He was doing it for years. I don't recall the name of the gentleman, older gentleman, but he was going around soliciting, fraudulently soliciting donations for the police department, for the Policemen's Association, just going door to door and soliciting for money, and people would do it. And you know, it's one of those things. So as a police department, we try to problem solve, and you know, I rack my brains, and it kind of tears me up, because I. As much as we try to put things out on social media and try to educate people, and you know, coming on your show, what is it? I don't know how else to get the word out there to people, because we shouldn't, this shouldn't be happening. I just, you know, as long as these people are going to kind of, they're going to continue to always perpetuate these types of crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that the more people that we kind of educate and tell them, hey, these are the things that are going on. I just kind of hope that those people will take the time and take that 5 minutes to tell the next person or tell their friends, or just because I don't want word to spread, because I want to stop seeing people being victimized from this.
Oh yeah, I mean it's really sad, because then you feel foolish. So I remember the last time you were here, you were saying no matter what size of the crime or incident, if your car was broken into and they just took change or whatever, it's important to report it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this way it ticks up the crime in that neighborhood particularly. And the last time you were here, I'll just go off script a minute, you were saying that some of the problem areas, because it was summer, and so like the YMCA, the kids had bikes out there and people are, you know, traveling around and they see a bike out there, and there was some bike theft up there. Since then, what can you tell us as far as, I know that crime is not seasonal, but do you see more statistically more crime in the summertime than in the winter, or it doesn't matter across the board? Because it does change. I would think that it does change throughout the different types of break-ins and theft and...
It does. There is some seasonality to things. So, for instance, you know, when it does come to bike thefts, not we see bike thefts year-round. There's just a reduction in bike thefts during the winter because if, you know, there's 2 feet of snow on the ground, not everybody's going to ride a bike. There are people out there to do it. I've seen it. I'll have to admit, maybe in my early teens, I might have been one of those people. But, you know, with certain things, well, you know, when it comes to things like fraud, we haven't really seen any kind of a time of year per se for that. So it depends. And, it comes in waves, too. You're going to have, I'm a big believer in the 20-80 rule. I don't know if I've ever talked to you about that.
No, you haven't told us about the 20-80
rule. The 20-80 rule. So 20% of your offenders actually commit 80% of your crime. Which kind of leads to the chronic frequent offender. So, you know, one of the things that I try to do is, you know, we'll monitor people that come out of prison. Of course, you know, the POP team, the problem-oriented policing team, they try to get involved. When they know that their people are going to be released, they meet with them before the release date and try to offer them services because we want them to get back on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough having a record, either getting gainful employment or maybe people have addiction or mental health issues that need to be resolved. So we kind of want to give them that step up to kind of get them back on to where they want to be. And but that's not always the case. You know, if you look back in July, we had an arrest of two individuals that were involved with a firearm that was stolen from a residence over on I think it was South Main Street. And one of those gentlemen had only been out of jail for maybe 3 or 4 weeks before he's going back to committing burglaries. So but you know, getting back to what I try to do, so we try to monitor the people that are coming out, and it's not every single person, but there are people that are just frequent flyers with the justice system. And so sometimes too, when we notice a spike in, like, well, for instance, I'll use burglary as an example. The first thing that will come to mind is, you know, somebody that's done these things before. Maybe it was a recent release. So then I'll go back over a 4 or 6 week period just to kind of see who's been released, not just in Attleboro, but kind of look at other people regionally too that are kind of known for these types of offenses.
Wow. So. Yeah, I was thinking, excuse me, and like I was reading in the newspapers that younger kids are getting involved, 13, 14, 15-year-olds are getting arrested for burglary. And they do go into juvenile court, but is there a pattern that you're seeing that younger people are trying to, for whatever reason, starting to do this?
You know, it's interesting that this came up. So I haven't particularly seen it. We do have juvenile offenders here in Attleboro. But not to the extent where I've seen it other places. I did work a case, not here in Attleboro, but maybe about 2.5 years ago. And kids are getting smart. Kids aren't people. I don't want people to think that kids are dumb. But it ended up turning out that. So have you ever seen a flash mob? You know what a flash mob is? You ever seen those videos where people just rush into a store, they rush into the mall, and they do silly things and things like that?
Yes.
So the Boston area actually saw what we called flash mob activity from different retailers. So what it was is there were a group of kids that turned up being approximately 60 juveniles, actually, between the ages of 12 and 17, roughly. And what they were doing is they were rushing into stores and stealing $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 worth of product at a time. Yes. So, and this activity was going on for a while. So, it was interesting to kind of see, and you know, we had several retailers reach out to us, and wanted to kind of work the case to ID these. We were able to ID all of these particular individuals, and but it went further than that. So it wasn't just shoplifting per se. So, are you ready for this one? They were utilizing certain ride services, I won't say which ones, they were utilizing them to go to five different states so they could steal from stores in five different states. And they were going as far away as Connecticut and Maine to take these services. But the shocker to me when we found out is that what these kids were doing, so how are these kids actually paying for these rides? Because some of these rides ended up coming out to be $1,500, $1,600 just for a ride.
Wow, yeah.
They were going online. So this was, we go back to the fraud stuff. Mm-hmm. They were going online. They were going on the dark web. We've all heard of the dark web. Mm-hmm. They're going on the dark web and purchasing stolen credit card information and using stolen credit card information to pay for these ride services. And it's like, holy cow. Like, I'm thinking to myself, I would have never thought of that when I was a kid. I mean, not that that stuff was available 30 years ago, but I'm thinking to myself, 14 and 15-year-old kids, like, using stolen credit card information and stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars in retailers' merchandise.
It was crazy. It's pretty brazen, I would think, too. I mean, geez.
Right. Well, and, you know, part of the problem we ran into is you know, when you have such a large-scale operation, first of all, nobody wants to prosecute a juvenile. I mean, I get that. You don't want them to have a record. But if they're coming up with that thought of perpetrating or those types of activity for that kind of money, mm-hmm. so if they see that as easy money at 15, 16 years old, what are they going to be doing 10, 15, 20 years from now?
Right.
You know, so.
I remember they used to have the program Scared Straight, where they took those juveniles and they brought them into prisons, and they did have the inmates really talk to them and scare them straight, you know. And
I think that's what they need.
I think so. I mean, there's no accountability, I think, you know. We've gotten into a society, like, I look at my granddaughters, you know, like when I was raising my children, I have to say, when I was raising my kids, you know, they got punished for their actions, you know. There were consequences, you know. I mean, there were things, you were grounded, you know. I mean, and now it's like when my granddaughters do something and my son or my daughter-in-law goes, that was really bad. You're in timeout. I'm rolling my eyes, and it's like, okay, so how many times has this kid been in timeout? You know, like five or six times. But when I babysit them and they act up, and I send them to their room. I said, no, this doesn't happen. I said, I say this to the youngest one because she can be a fireball. I said, look, you can cry all you want, I said, but this does not work for me at all. I said, I raised your dad. I said, go to your room. I mean, it's like, and they do. And when I come in every time, they come up and they hug me and stuff like that, because I have them structured. I'm not going to be like my son and my daughter-in-law, who I love dearly. But it's just like, no, no, no. You can't get away with that stuff. I'm your grandmother.
There's something to be said to have a little bit of fear. My grandmother's straight off the boat out of Poland, and let me tell you what, when Bopchi picked up that wooden spoon,
I didn't have to do
whatever you were doing stopped.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to stop on that because we do have to take a quick break, and then Jim Corbin will be calling in for our weather hit. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. If you have a question or comment, now's the time to call in after our break at 508-222-1320. Good morning, and we will be right back after these messages.
At Wheaton College, we'll exhibit Drawn Threads from September 5th to October 21st. The six artists in the exhibition rely on thread as both inspiration and a drawing tool, creating works that span sculpture, installation, photography, and painting. The artists in the exhibition are Jay Carpenter, Marjorie Forte, Leslie Schomp, Jody Stevens, Antoinette Winters, and Melissa Zexter. For more information about the exhibit, including gallery hours, you can email arts@wheatoncollege.edu.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I spend a lot of time in my backyard. I feed the birds and the bees. I love my flowers. The color in my garden keeps the pink of my cheeks. I was very independent and thought I could take care of myself. I fell and I had to have Meals on Wheels. I love them. They're my savior. And I look forward to volunteers because they've all become my friends.
It's Meals on Wheels.
America, let's do lunch.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Looking to make a difference? Have extra time during the week? The Literacy Center is looking for you. By becoming a volunteer at the Literacy Center, you could help someone learn to read, study for their citizenship test, learn English, and even help them with their high school equivalency. For more information on how to volunteer or join the next tutor training, you can view our website at theliteracycenter.com or call 508-226-3603. The Literacy Center, building a better community.
Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
To the one that was waiting for me, it took so long. Still I believe somehow the one.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our phone number here is 508-222-1320. I wonder what kind of day we're going to have. I wonder what kind of week I'm going to have. Well, we'll find out real soon as Jim Corbin will be calling in very soon and giving us the latest and greatest. I know he's on the road. He said he was going to be on the road. And just a couple of things before he calls in. I wanted to remind you that today is the last day of Farmers Market. I know. I'm sad, too. It starts at 9 a.m. today. It goes till 1. Also, too, Donna Sprague will be at the Psychic Fair from 9 a.m. to 4 o'clock at the Attleboro Farms located at Route 121. It's free admission, but each vendor, each reading, will charge you a fee for your own personal reading. So I went last year, and I had a really great time. I was charged $20 for 15-minute reading, and it was really, really worth it. It was very interesting, I should say. So you want to go down to the Psychic Fair today at 9 o'clock and meet Donna Sprague, and she will be there. She's there right now setting up, so she wouldn't be able to call in, although I did ask her to try to call in, but I do realize that she is setting up the fair. And I was there a couple of days ago, Thursday, actually, and I bought 35 pumpkins for my office. And Mike is looking at me like, what? Well, every year we have a pumpkin carving contest. And so I wanted to buy them before I went on vacation. So a week from Sunday, I'll go down there again and pick them up and bring them up to my office. And then we have our contest on that Friday. And it's a lot of fun. I started doing that 3 years ago, and it's a lot of fun. So it's a good team-building exercise as well. Speaking of team, someone on my team just called in, so I'd like to say good morning, Jim Corbin. How are you doing today?
Oh, very well, Elaine. Good morning to you and all. And, yes, I am on the road coming back from Duxbury. I'm in Easton right now on 106 here, and I ran through a rain shower going through Bridgewater. So I bring that up because we do have a one or two showers in the forecast for today, but it certainly won't be much. And yet again, we, as you were just talking about, the last farmer's market of the season coming up with mostly good weather. I will say this constantly. Whenever you plan events in the warm season, obviously we're now getting into the cooler season, but if you plan them in the morning, there's about three-quarters of a chance better of not getting rained on. So that's why, again, I know some of the reasons are obvious for planning events in the morning. You can't do certain things. But the point being that we have a couple of showers in the forecast today. It's going to be in the low 70s. Keep in mind now that we're in the middle of October, Our average high is in the low 60s, which we were yesterday. Today we're going to be in the low 70s. How about 80 for tomorrow? How's that sound?
Really?
Yeah. Now, just for one day, though. Now, the negative about tomorrow, especially in the afternoon, there will be a pretty good gusty breeze out of the south-southwest. Nothing tropical. In other words, at least for now, we don't have anything else worried tropical-wise, which is good. Believe it or not, Ophelia was a hurricane that's now headed to Scotland and Wales. Can you believe that? But anyway, tomorrow, winds would gust up to 30, 35 miles an hour in the afternoon, a mixture of clouds and sun. And then we'll have a quick rain shower tomorrow night, and then as we start Monday next week, it's back to cool, breezy, drier weather, a little bit like we had the other day, highs in the 60s. And then Tuesday, perhaps the chilliest daytime we've had so far this season. Tuesday might not get out of the mid and upper 50s for high temperatures, and one or two of those mornings next week, Tuesday or Wednesday, we may be dealing with our first frost in the Attleboro area. I know yesterday morning there were a few isolated pockets over towards Taunton, but the more rural locations of the Hockomock Swamp area. But I think we do have our first chance of frost next week.
Wow, can you believe that already, huh?
Yeah, well, it's just about where we should have it, really. It's been a very warm late September and first half of October overall, mm-hmm. with a couple of cool days. So that's why, as well, you probably noticed the trees changing color. It's late this year by a couple of weeks. Obviously, some of the maple trees, those are the ones that you see them turn real red and then they fall off in orange, bright orange. Those are the early ones. They've been falling off for a few weeks, but we're still waiting for some of these oak trees. And those are the ones that will be turning a deep maroon color over the next few weeks. Those are the last to go. A couple of other trees, too, smaller trees, ash trees and things like that. So, again, it's really not bad, I have to say. Yet again, even though we will have a couple of showers scattered today and even tomorrow, it's certainly nothing widespread.
Wow, that sounds really great. And no snow in the future.
Well, there is snow in the future, but not right away. Now, the rule of thumb, as I've said always, as you know, I've been observing weather, not only just forecasting it for 35 years, but being an observer as young as 10, 11 years old as a kid. If you get an early snowfall, it usually means the winter will not have a lot of snow. So a lot of times people are like, oh, it snowed on Halloween or around Halloween or something. That usually, and it's the technical reason I won't get into, but it's the jet stream patterns. That usually means that the snowfall is going to be below average for that season. So if you're someone who does not like a lot of snow, you generally want to root for an early snowfall. If you're someone who loves a lot of snow, let the snow ramp up, say, in late November and especially December, and you'll have like a bell curve of a lot of snow, and then it'll drop off as you go through late February and March. So you asked about snow, there's the answer.
That's great. Any more action in the tropics? Because I know we still have a few more weeks before hurricane season ends.
Well, we have Ophelia, which is now, again, Ophelia was like Lee, which, remember, Lee was a storm, but it was out in the middle of the Atlantic, not bothering anyone. Ophelia has done the same thing. It actually went just south of the Azores yesterday, and now it's headed as an extratropical storm into Scotland. Now, of course, we don't have to worry about that. They will there. But our next named storm is Philippe, one L and two P's. And some of our models are trying to form something over the next, say, week to 10 days. But I think we're finally starting to slow down more of the action as we go late in the season. Our season here in the greater Attleboro area, the tropics, is generally mid-August through about the first week of October. So we're really essentially past all the storms we've had. In fact, on today's date, we were monitoring what was Hurricane Hazel in 1954 that came up. That was a rare late-season hurricane. Really now, we're just about done with the tropics to worry about here in New England, here in southeastern Mass and Rhode Island. So that is certainly good climatologically, if you've been worried about this season. I mean, we've had five storms that brought us some rain and nothing more than maybe a few gusts of wind here and there. Of course, we had a couple of scattered power outages from Jose about 2 weeks ago in Attleboro and some surrounding towns. Nothing widespread. So right now, I think we're looking pretty good. And even if there were a leak to develop, the chances of it getting this far north are dropping as each day passes because the jet stream now is further south and that blocks us. So we've been not blocked up until the last couple of weeks, and that's why we've been getting all the remains of some of these storms, of course, which have been devastating for many other areas. But not here in southeastern Mass and New England. We have actually benefited from the five named storms over the last 2 months. Harvey, Irma, Jose, Maria, and then Nate the other day. So, again, nothing else going on for now. That's the good news.
Yeah, that is very good news because so many people are still recovering from Harvey and Irma and Maria, especially in Puerto Rico.
The problem with Puerto Rico, they had a hurricane, if you remember, that grazed the north coast. And then a week later, they had an even stronger hurricane, Maria, that actually went right over the island. So as I've tried to describe an analogy, it's like being in a boxing match. We have one boxer, the first hurricane that came out, kind of knocked you around, dazed you, but you weren't really put out. And then another one came a week later. Obviously, if it were boxing, it would be maybe an hour later or whatever. Another one, an even stronger boxer, that caught you when you were already somewhat down. That's exactly what happened to Puerto Rico. And again, there have been some complaints about the help down there and everything else. There was almost no way the infrastructure down there of a 1-2 punch like that. And some of that infrastructure is very old down there. The electric grid that was not updated in so many areas. So that's why they're going to have weeks and months without power in some areas down there. And again, think about it. That is so terrible. You know, I've always wondered, why isn't Puerto Rico a state, one thing? But that's to talk about another time. But the point being that as bad as it was there, and of course Louisiana, Texas and Florida, of course, with Irma and some of the others, we have just actually benefited by the remains. Had we not had some of these remains of these five storms, and again, not always directly related, some fronts, we would be in a much worse drought in our area than we are right now. We're in a minor drought. And again, you can kind of tell that with some of the shriveled leaves that you see lying around on the ground. They look like the edges are shriveled up. That's why they fell off, because of the fact that they were just not getting enough water.
Wow, that is amazing.
Other than that, but we'll end on a good note.
Yes, end on a good note.
End on a good note is, again, I think we should have mostly dry weather for this weekend. And if you like, one more day that might approach 80 degrees, tomorrow is your day.
Excellente. Thank you so much, Jim, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Elaine. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. Great. So, sounds like we're going to have a hodgepodge couple of days. 80-degree weather. Can you believe that? Oh, my gosh. We're going to take a quick... actually, we have another call. So, Mike, can we just take that one? Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Elaine. It's Heather Parika. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. Hi. How are you?
I'm getting ready for the apple pie contest.
I know.
Did you make a pie?
No, I didn't. Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, no, I've had a busy day. I didn't get up early enough to do it. I'm very sorry. But you will see me later. I'm going to, after the show, I'm going to run a quick errand, and then I'm coming over to the farmer's market. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yep, it's our last day. It's a bittersweet day for me because farmer's market's my favorite thing. And I'm always sad when I see the season come to an end. But we're going to go out with a bang today. We have a varied panel of judges that are coming to test out people's pies. And the best part of it all is that we auction off the winning pie to the highest bidder. And then we slice up all the remaining pies and we offer them up for a suggested donation of $2. And all of that money goes right over to the Hebron Food Pantry. So,
nice. That's great. Yes.
Yeah. It's now, a good day.
I wanted to ask you, did I miss the pumpkins that were there?
Yes, that was last week.
Last week, okay.
Yes.
Darn.
We will have pumpkins. I'm quite confident that we'll have vendors who bring some pumpkins. But last week's event with the pumpkin and cornstalk day, also we raised well over $1,000. I think it was about $1,200. That all of the proceeds for that went to the Cuban Food Pantry.
Great.
Which is $25,000 worth of buying power at the Greater Boston Food Bank. So that was a great day. But, you know, this is why, you know, my fully volunteer board of directors, this is why we do farmers market, so that we can help out, you know, our local community, those who can come to market and buy great fruits and vegetables. And for those of us that struggle a little harder, we load up that food pantry for the winter.
You are amazing, and so isn't all your team. And honest to God, the Farmers Market has just been a wonderful community event each and every Saturday. I'm going to go through withdrawal now because you're ending. We should all get together for coffee or something. I don't
That would be fine. You know, I kind of go into a small depression when the farmer's market ends. I'm still up at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. My kids are not. They're like, woohoo, we do not have to get up on Saturday morning. So they're really happy about that. And if I can, I just want to say thank you to Eddie and Jeff and Virginia and Vicky and Dave and Chris for, you know, putting up with me and my craziness about farmer's market. That's my board. And I want to say thank you to the park department. The guys over there are phenomenal. They put out, you know, recycle bins and take care of our trash and hang up my sign and put out my sign up on County Street every single week. And they're just, they're super supportive. And, you know, anything I ever ask of them, they, you know, jump through hoops to try and get that for me. Like yesterday, I was like, hey, do you guys think you can get me a bigger picnic table? Because the three that I have clearly aren't enough. So could you get me a bigger one? And I get a text message a little later on, and they dropped a big picnic table for me for the judges to sit at today. So, you know, the guys down there have been super supportive. I'm so proud of every single one of my vendors for taking that leap of faith and saying, you know what, we're going to give this a try, especially like confectionery designs. She was really nervous at the beginning of the year about putting herself out there, and she's really just, she's knocked it out of the park, and she's thrilled. And, you know, farmers market, truthfully, is like an incubator for small business, and I've seen, you know, vendors who get too big that they can't even come to market anymore. And that is such a source of pride for me. It makes me really happy. And it is truly a labor of love for all of us. And we love Attleboro, and that's why we do it. And I'm going to cry.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. But but I want to thank you so much for all the hard work and all the vendors that have come faithfully every week or every other week. It's made a tremendous difference in our community. I mean, every time I go there, I run into a neighbor or a coworker, actually, because several of them work. And, I mean, they live in Attleboro, so, I mean, it's like you never know who you're going to run into when you're at farmers market. So I'll do another push at the end of the show. But, again, thank you so much for doing this, and your team has just been so phenomenal. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It is truly our pleasure. And thank you for letting me come on the radio every once in a while.
Of course.
Give it a little bump. I'm happy to be able to do that. And, you know, Elaine, it's funny that you say that, because one of the things besides – there are so many things that I get out of this. Like, people say, Heather, why do you do it for free? Because I get paid in other ways. Like, I get, my heart is full every single Saturday. And I love kind of standing at the management tent and looking out and seeing groups of people hanging out and talking. I mean, we're a meeting place for families. Like, people come to market, have lunch, go to the zoo, do things like that. It's just, we've become a little bit of something here in the city, and so I'm happy about it. And thank you for your support always.
Oh, always. And I will see you in a little bit.
Sounds good.
All right, hon. Take care. All right, there goes Heather. And again, to remind you, this is the last Farmers Market. Starts at 9 a.m. to 1, so please check it out. Thank Heather and her team for all the hard work. We're going to take our last break, and on the flip side, we do have Anthony Stevens to wrap up our show. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. And we'll be right back after these messages. You and I must make a pact.
We must bring salvation back. The Attleboro Area Industrial Museum will present Conviction and Destiny, Attleboro's Great Fire, on Saturday, October 14th at 1 p.m. The presentation will cover Attleboro's Great Fire of 1898 and discuss how it connects to themes in Station 11, Attleboro's selection for this year's Big Read. Light refreshments will be served. For more information, you can contact the Attleboro Area Industrial Museum at 508-222-3918.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
A soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's gonna be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, he's too heavy.
Oh my god.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us, we're over here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Each year, nearly a quarter of a million people head to the emergency room due to slips in their bathrooms alone. When you add injuries caused on kitchen floors, pool decks, hardwood stairs, and walkways, it's over 1 million people. Your whole house is an obstacle course. That's why Sentinel Safe Floor Solutions provides services to make your existing floors slip-resistant and safe. Whether it's your family or your pet that has been slipping in your home, Sentinel Safe Floors can reduce the chances of being injured. Locally owned and operated and serving the greater Attleboro area, learn more about Sentinel Safe Floors by calling 508-535-5000.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Oh, that is a happy song. Anytime you play a Beatles song for me, Mike, that's really awesome. Thank you. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. If you'd like to jump on the line for our last few minutes, I have Anthony Stevens here, and I will relinquish the floor to you, my friend.
Well, thank you. I want to point out to everyone, so we are tracking to crime. The chief does have a monthly meeting, a CompStat meeting with his command staff once a month, where we talk about the trends and the statistics and the numbers. And I always like to throw out there, so, you know, at this point of the year, between January 1st and October 8th or 9th of this year, we've actually seen over a 13% decrease in crime in the city year to date versus last year for that same time frame. But what's even more exciting is the fact that looking at it over the last 10 or plus years, crime is at its lowest point in the last 11 years this year. So the guys and gals over at the department, all the command staff, I want to give them a shout out because they've worked really hard this year to target certain criminal patterns, certain areas and hotspots in the city, and kind of reduce that activity that's been going on. But part of my job, too, is to kind of look at regional trends, and I do want to kind of put this out there. I haven't really seen much of it out in the media. So they're seeing a regional trend in the state. So there's a group that was originally based out of Florida. They've tracked it to about 600 individuals at this point, but it's gang activity. And what they're doing is they're targeting people as they go to public places. So they're there's been a motorist that was targeted at a dog park. Technically what they do is they'll sit, go to a business parking lot, usually a bigger plaza, and they'll do operational surveillance. They will watch people get in and out of their cars, and they seem to be particularly targeting females at this point. But what they're looking to see is they're waiting to see if you get out of your car with or without your person. That's how they're kind of choosing which vehicles they target to do motor vehicle thefts, motor vehicle breaks, not thefts. Mm-hmm. So then what they're doing is that once you go into the store, they're smashing your window, they're taking your purse, and they're using your documents from your purse. So they're looking at your IDs, they're getting your checks, they're getting your debit credit cards, and they're performing identity fraud. And what they're doing is they're draining people's bank accounts. And it's heart-wrenching because some of the victims I've seen, and not necessarily in Attleboro, But it wrecks their lives. They have to get their credit. They're ratcheting up their credit scores, and so it takes the people months and months to get these things fixed. So we have seen activity in eastern Massachusetts, possibly in Rhode Island as well. But it tends to, when we talk about seasonality, it's the seasonality of crime, it's not so much seasonal, but they do tend to rotate through for a couple of weeks. Then it'll go someplace else in the United States until it's time to come back to this portion of Massachusetts again. Normally we see them come off through Connecticut. So I just want people to kind of be aware of their surroundings. If you see somebody watching you, and not to cause a panic, but just to be kind of aware of your surroundings, and please, motor vehicle brakes are the one thing that that we can help prevent. So just kind of keep an eye on your things and don't leave things in your car, please.
Right. Isn't that interesting? I know, like, when I go up to rent them, I'm very, very mindful of putting my credit cards in my jacket. Like, I have a zippers in my jacket. Mm-hmm. So I'll put my credit cards here and my ID. But even before I get out of the car, like before I leave my driveway, I just pop up the hood, throw in my GPS and my purse, and shut it. It's in the trunk of the car, and then I head up there because I know, and I've had the chief of police up on my show, Jim Anderson, and we were talking about the shoplifting and the break-ins of the cars and everything, and just be mindful of that. And now it's escalating because now it's getting into like the fall season where more inventory is coming in because of, you know, Christmas holidays.
Right, and that's another thing. That's a good point, Elaine. The holidays are coming up. You know, people just, you know, you're going to be out shopping. Be aware you're going to leave things in your car. People are going to be targeting that. And package theft as well. You know, we're going to start seeing an increase in reporting for package theft because it's that time of year after the 31st of October. People are going to start ordering things for the holidays. And there are people that are out there, and they do follow UPS and FedEx vehicles around, and they'll wait for them to drive away, and they will come up to your porch and take your packages.
Isn't that something? So, I mean, the boldness of it all.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that next month when I see you. Just some tips of things, so.
That sounds great. And I know I have to run because we're running out of time. But I thank you for coming on today, and I really do appreciate the statistics that you've given us. I have a few more questions, but we don't have time, so I'll keep those for next month.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Great. So, folks, you are listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're wrapping up our show. I'd like to thank Anthony Stevens for coming on this early. Of course, Jim Corbin, who gives us the weather and the latest and greatest of what's happening. And also Mike Catanzaro, who is always keeping me on track as he is right now. I'm listening to the music in my ear saying, Elaine, you got to wrap up soon. And also to remind you that the Farmer's Market is today from 9 a.m. to 1. And don't forget to check out that psychic fair at the Attleboro Farms located on 121. Free admission. The fun starts at 9 a.m. to 4. Remind you also that Dominic will be back at 6 a.m., and Paul Healy will be on from 9 to noon, and Out and About with Elaine is on each and every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8. So from all of us here at 1320 WARA, thanks for listening, and meet me back here next week so you can find out what's happening in our community. You already know, so just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance.